Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, a comprehensive episode on Israel. The entire episode about the history of Israel, what we're supposed to think about it, right here on The Charlie Kirk Show. If you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, start a high school chapter or a college chapter, go to tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
So let's talk about Israel. I've been to Israel multiple times. Unlike most Americans, I can actually point to it on a map because I've been there. There are more lies about Israel than almost any other country on the planet. Now, Israel is not without fault. I never make the argument that Israel is a perfect nation in how they handle anything. However, they are the only nation in the Middle East that is a republic. And they're also very clear, which I totally respect, about the type of nation that they want to be. They want to be a Jewish nation. And their immigration policies and their security policies are always in defense of their mission statement. Now, why America can't also have the same immigration policies as Israel is really beyond me. That's a different conversation for a different time. So I was relaxing last week on my honeymoon with my wife and just enjoying the sun. And these people were whispering, Israel, Israel. It's like, what are you talking about, Israel? And by the way, I've been through many of these before. Here's basically how this always plays out, okay? You got some gangsters that are terrorists that call themselves Palestinian, made-up term, that push the envelope a little too far. They get a little too excited. Israel tells them to stop. They keep doing it. It tells them to stop again. Then Israel displays what they are, which is the most powerful military force in the Middle East with sophisticated weaponry, and they're not afraid to use it. And so none of this necessarily surprised me. And it really has put Joe Biden in a very difficult situation on how are they going to defend Israel? Because the Democrat Party is by definition anti-Israel because they don't like the West and they don't like this idea of a nation that actually decides to defend itself based on a central organizing principle. They prefer a global tyranny of a oneness rather than a multitude of hundreds of nations of people governing themselves with their own sovereignty. Let's play some sound here. Let's just go back into the history of Israel and make sure we all know what we're talking about here, because many people don't. They don't know the Balfour Declaration. They don't know the 48 War. They don't know the Six-Day War. They don't know any of that stuff. They don't know what Judea and Samaria is. They don't know what Jordan is. They don't know where how Gaza became Gaza. They don't know what Hamas is. They don't know that how Egypt got the Sinai Desert as a gift from Israel. They don't know any of that stuff. They don't know Hezbollah from Hamas to Hamas. Let's go to cut 22. This is Bernie Sanders' argument when it comes to Israel. Cut 22.
The Israeli government has evolved over the years into a pretty strong right-wing government. And their coalition now includes people who are overt racists. And when you have the United States of America, Ali, putting almost $4 billion a year into Israel, we have the right to demand that they respect the human rights of all people, including the Palestinians.
Now, again, this is Bernie Sanders going after Israel, of course, the only Jewish country on the planet where half of the world's Jewry, which is an actual term, by the way, live in Israel. Half. And mind you, the people that wish to abolish America off the map, the same reasons they want to abolish Israel off the map. Israel is wealthy. Israel is successful. Israel has a mission statement of what their nation should be. So let me just tell you one thing about Israel. If every Arab country that surrounded Israel put down their guns, we would have peace. If Israel puts down their guns, the Jews would be dead. Do you know that Israel, on their most holy day, they were attacked from six different directions by every Arab country? I want you to think about how evil this is. That you attack every single country, every single direction on the Jews' most holy day. Israel was almost conquered by their Lebanese and Syrian and Jordanian and Egyptian neighbors. And so Israel said, okay, you're going to attack us on our most holy day. They mobilized every single IDF soldier imaginable and pushed back the invaders. And from that point forward, Israel was never played for a fool again. Now, on Shabbos in Israel, you'll see almost people walking on streets, almost no motorized traffic. But the one thing that Israel will never do again is they will never let their security guard down, ever. So let's get to this question here. Is Israel abusing their neighbors? Well, unlike the thieves and the smear merchants that run our activist media, we on this program, Andrew, Connor, all of us, we actually know this issue. We know it really well. Okay. Have you ever heard of pay for slay? Have any one of the smear merchants that run the New York Times talked about pay for slay? So here's how pay for slay works. And up until Donald Trump, the United States government was funding the Palestinian Authority. And by the way, I'm going to go through what the Palestinian Authority is. It's not a country, okay? It's not a country. They try really hard to make it a country. They're just all Arab. That's it. That does not make them a country. So here's what pay for slay is. The Palestinian Authority, which is a provisional government that does not make them a country, receives tons of money from the world, right? So you have probably one of the most evil people that you can imagine. This guy by the name of Mahmoud Abbas. He's a gangster, okay? Think of, what would be a good example here? Think of Tony Soprano speaking Arabic without any of the decency or love of his community. At least Tony Soprano drove his kids to school every day. Mahmoud Abbas doesn't have schools to get their kids to go to school. Mahmoud Abbas is a gangster and a really bad guy. Okay, so he's the head of the Palestinian Authority government, if you can call it that. So he goes around the world and he collects money from France and from Denmark because really there is a deep-seated anti-Semitism. There is. Now, is Israel too aggressive at times? Maybe. I'm not going to get into that because you know what? I will defend a nation's right to exist. I love the idea of a nation. I love the idea of a nation is a strictly biblical principle. We'll get into that later in the show. What I don't like is when other nations decide to say that one nation shouldn't exist. That's imperialism. That's what they accuse Israel of doing. Anyway, so pay for slay. Pay for slay is a government program sponsored by the gangster Mahmoud Abbas. Do you know that if you go and bomb, let's just say you go kill three Jews in Jerusalem and you're a Arab Palestine, you're a PA person. Let's say you go cut off the heads of three Jews in downtown Jerusalem. Do you know that your children and your family will now receive money from the Palestinian Authority government? Pay for slay. Do you know that thousands of people are subsidized by the Palestinian Authority government? So let's say you're trying to make it big. You want to win the lottery in the PA? You want to make sure your family's taken care of? All you got to do is go kill Jews. What kind of moral equivalency is that? So let me get this straight. Israel has a defensive posture in the Iron Dome. And the Arabs and the Palestinian Authority have government welfare programs that subsidize the decapitation and public massacring of Jews and Westerners. Not even close. And so this entire idea of Israel is really a broader indictment, not idea, but the question of Israel is this idea of what is a nation, should it exist, how did it form, And the whole history around it is a lot more complicated than you might realize. We're going to go into the peace treaties. Do you know that Israel, time and time again, comes to the table wanting to broker peace? But Israel has a non-negotiable, and God bless them for this, quite honestly. And by the way, Iran has a similar non-negotiable. Israel, we want to be a Jewish country. Iran, we want to be a Muslim country. That should be respected. Look, by now you've all heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. Mike Lindell, he's got a lot of ambition. He's a patriot. He loves his country. A lot of people like Mike Lindell. In fact, I get emails from people. They say, Charlie, how can I help you? How can I help Mike Lindell? How can I help the country? Well, if you go to MyPillow.com and buy anything with the promo code Kirk, it helps both of us. That's right. Maybe you want to go buy the MyPillow slippers. They're beautiful slippers. Maybe you want to buy the MyPillow. MyPillow slippers are so comfortable that you want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. You'll also get deep discounts on MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress toppers, and MyPillow towel sets. Or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk. My worldview, I prefer sovereign nation states serve as a barrier to global totalitarianism. All throughout the scriptures, there's this belief in biblical nationalism, loving one's people and one's land. In Daniel 6 and Daniel 9, Daniel loved his nation enough to fast and pray for its rebuilding. I respect a people to associate themselves and gather and organize their own government, their own nation. And I especially recognize and appreciate a people that have been so persecuted and so maligned to do so in a manner of which the land that they are entitled to, where their holy sites are, where their people have labored over, and the land of which that they have a deep and, quite honestly, eternal connection to. The Arabs have no such claim to this land. They don't. And so what's been happening, and let me just tell you how this thing's going to end, okay? There is no end to this in Israel, what's happening in this conflict, that's going to be good for the Arabs, okay? The Arabs should just lay down their guns and try again another day. Israel is not going to allow their nation, their people, or their security be compromised by a bunch of gangster Arab thugs that are subsidized by the Palestinian Authority to go kill Jews. It's not going to end well. Now, sometimes this lesson needs to be relearned every couple of years. When Donald Trump moved the American embassy to Jerusalem, Palestinian Authority terrorists decided to try to charge the gates, and dozens of them were killed by doing so. I remember I was in Israel when this was happening, and I'd be getting text messages, are you safe? I'm like, yeah, it's perfectly safe. Israel knows what they're doing. And so I'm going to get to some more sound here. Let's go to cut 40. There you go. Jen Psaki saying that they're pursuing different tactics than the prior administration, so prior than Trump. And so, yeah, okay, this is a good one. Play cut 40. I'm going to tell you what this means. Thank you.
Again, I would say that we are not following the same tactics of the prior administration. The president has reinstated humanitarian assistance and security assistance to the Palestinians. That's something that was stopped back in 2018, and we felt was not a constructive action by the prior administration. Aside from putting forward a peace proposal that was dead on arrival, we don't think they did anything constructive, really, to bring an end to the longstanding conflict in the Middle East. So,
longstanding conflict in the Middle East. Jen Psaki is such a dishonest hack. Donald Trump brought the United Arab Emirates, the second wealthiest Arab country, I think. I'm just on the top of my head. Second wealthiest Arab country, maybe second or third, I don't know, in the Middle East, with Sudan and Bahrain for a peace accord called the Abraham Accords. And Jen Psaki says they did nothing useful. So first of all, she says Palestinians as if it's just something to throw out. Here's a good question for you, Jen Psaki. What is a Palestinian? Can you answer that? Now she'll say, well, it's someone who lives where? In Judea and Samaria? No, Palestinians are Jordanian refugees. And she says, well, the conflict, but there is no conflict, okay? The conflict is very simple. You have poor Arabs that have been indoctrinated and have been, they have been misled to believe that Israel is the great terror in the world. They hate the West at all costs, and they throw thousands of human beings at walls as suicide bombers to try to proliferate the conflict, not try to solve the conflict. Israel has gone in good faith to try to solve this conflict time and time again. And now it's important to remember that Israel agreed to most of what the PLO wanted, but Arafat, at the time, balked and walked away because of a fear of assassination. Most people don't remember that. If you look at a map of where Israel used to be, it's only gotten smaller since the 1960s. Do you know Israel used to control the North Sinai? And they gave that to Egypt. Israel used to control Gaza, where a lot of this conflict seems to always emerge from. And then also, what should America's stance towards Israel be? It's very simple. America's stance towards Israel should be to allow and to empower any nation that shares our values to defend oneself, insofar it does not put our nation or our people at credible risk. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, Fiat, Kia, and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need on a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Charlie Kirk in there, "How'd you hear about us?" section. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So let me tell you a story. When I was in Jerusalem, one of the times, I met a good friend of mine, Matan, who runs an organization in Israel called Im Tritzu. These great people. And we met in the King David Hotel for breakfast. And he said, "I'm going to show you all around Israel in a way you've never seen before." I said, "Oh, great. Terrific." He said, "We're going to Hebron." And my now wife, Erica, said, "We're going to Hebron?" You see, she knew what Hebron was. I said, "Oh, I trust these guys." And they said, "Yeah, don't worry. We have weapons." I said, "Okay." So Hebron is a very famous city. It's covered a lot by the Western press. And Hebron is where the Hall of the Patriarchs is. It's where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, and I think it's Rachel. No. We'll look at it. Are all buried. It's a very important place in Judaism and also in Christianity. And the Muslims, of course, wanted to get in on the action. And so then they're allowed to alternate. So I remember we were driving down to Hebron from Jerusalem with my friend Matan driving. And I remember I saw this sign. And so I remember this sign. There was a big arrow right down the middle. And then there were two arrows coming out that were both red. And I turned to Matan and I said, "What does that mean? What happens if I would go where the red arrow is?" Because we'd go through these roundabouts going southwest from Jerusalem to Hebron. You go to roundabout, roundabout, roundabout. And he says, "Oh," he said, "if you go to where the red arrows are, you die." What are you talking about? I die? Because I kind of have this belief that we weren't going to Hebron, that, you know, we were going to Lake Huron or something. No, he said, "You know, if you go to the right down the street, you die." As a Westerner, as a Jew, as a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. And so he said, "Look, if you go down there after a mile or 2 miles, you'll be stopped by an Arab and they will destroy your car, kill you, or at least batter you so badly that we'll have to come in and rescue you and use IDF soldiers to come in there. What he was describing were the different zones that are all throughout Judea and Samaria. And I said, well, what happens if an Arab comes into Israel? He says, oh, we try to bring them back. They might try to work. I said, oh, what an amazing moral double standard. That if Jews, or myself, a Christian, goes into any other zone, let's say I go into the different sphere of Hebron, I lose my head. Let me read you what the sign says. This road leads to Area A under the Palestinian Authority. The entrance for Israeli citizens is forbidden, dangerous to your lives, and is against the Israeli law. What an interesting moral equivalency. There is none. So I got to Hebron, and Hebron literally, the Jews control one street in Hebron. 3% of Hebron, the Jews control. The rest is all Arab. When I mean all Arab, I mean all Arab. And I said to our guide, Matan, this is the controversy. And there's always stabbings and there's shootings. And we went right there. We walked right on the streets of Hebron, right by people that were given us side eyes and God bless some IDF soldiers. If you know what IDF is, it's Israeli Defense Force. They have mandatory conscription in Israel. And we went up to the hill and I remember looking down in all of the Hebron Valley. I said to myself, this is what the West is so upset about. This is what AOC and Rashida Tlaib are so upset about. This is what they get so angered about. There is no moral equivalency. What is the number one piece of weaponry that the Israeli government spends money on? Defensive weapons, like the Iron Dome. Israel spends their money on defending themselves, not attacking their neighbors. Israel always gives land back, always. Go and have the Sinai. Go ahead, have Gaza. Let's talk about Gaza for a second. Gaza used to be all Israeli occupied. Used to have vineyards and factories. It used to be a place where thousands of Jews lived quiet and peaceable lives. In the pursuit of peace, the Israeli government made a massive mistake. In fact, I sat next to a guy at some dinner at some point who was part of these discussions. He said it was one of the worst decisions that he was ever involved in, and he deeply regrets it. Where he said that if we, basically the deal was you pull out of Gaza, give it to the Palestinian Authority, even though Gaza is non-contiguous with the rest of the Palestinian Authority. So if you have a map of the Palestinian Authority, you have Israel. On the eastern part is Judea and Samaria, where they control far too much. They control, I think it's called Nablus, which is the, I always mispronounce it. It's their capital. Nablus up to the north. And then Gaza, which is its own thing. Now Gaza is, it's one of the scummiest places on earth. Okay. It is run by criminals. It is run by people that do not have the best interests of the West or Israel at heart. And quite honestly, there's a lot of citizens that are held captive by the Palestinian Authority terrorist Hamas government. Police forcibly removed Jews from Gaza in the pursuit of peace. And what did Israel get in return? They got a hotbed. They got a factory. They got an open air incubator of radicalism. And so just recently, I just read this story this morning because I've been off the grid and kind of got into this. I had to reread this like five or six times. That the Associated Press, AP, an American news agency, they had an office, they had a bureau in Gaza, even worse than that. They shared a building with a Hamas weapons factory. So I want you to imagine, it's 9 a.m., and you work for AP in Gaza. You're going to work, and you get into the elevator, and all of a sudden, someone comes in, you say, oh, what floor? 8. Like, okay. So what do? I kill Jews. Oh, sweet. Let's get lunch sometimes. Ding, elevator opens. When they had building parties, did Hamas bring the weapons and the AP bring the hummus? The Associated Press was literally sharing a building with the worst terrorists that we could imagine. In fact, Associated Press Matt Friedman wrote in The Atlantic, quote, "During my time at the Associated Press, we helped Hamas get this point across with a school of reporting that might be classified as surprising signs of moderation." Oh, you helped Hamas. Friedman specifically notes how the AP dutifully reported Hamas's spin on the situation in Gaza to craft a narrative that Israel is oppressive and Palestinians are innocent. Does that sound familiar? Oppressor and oppressed? Here's how the way you have to look at this. The Palestinians, they're leftists. They're always complaining, constantly playing the victim, never wanting peace, conflict as a means to get more power, abolish the West. Whereas Israel, again, Israel makes plenty of mistakes, okay? That's not what we're talking about here. Israel's like any other nation, but the general pattern of behavior is justifiable defensive posture from Israel to defend themselves and to defend their nation and to defend the Jewish people. A professor of public policy and political sociology at the Open University of Israel says, quote, "The unintended consequences of the Iron Dome complicate the story by reducing the expected costs of bombing Gaza. Iron Dome allows Israel to act with less concern for civilian casualties and gives Israel less incentive to find a political solution to its conflict with Gaza." So basically, the reason why Israel's in such a good position is that they're able to protect their citizens too nicely. So what are American politicians saying about this? And by the way, in Hebron, it is Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah. Jacob and Leah, Isaac and Rebecca, Abraham and Sarah. And by the way, just so you guys know, the people that call themselves Palestinians, I never call them that. They're Jordanian refugees. And King Abdullah, who I believe is the head of Jordan, who actually technically, here's a fun little fact, is allegedly the 17th. No, that's not right. No. He's like the 56th direct descendant of Muhammad. Connor can fact check there. It's all debated. The Arabs fight over that all the time. Let's get to some sound here of what do our politicians think of Israel and why is it that the American left is so obsessed with Israel? Cut 44. Actually, no, let's play it. Let's play them all. Let's go one through one. Let's start with Rashida Tlaib, who's cut 41.
"What we are telling Palestinians fighting apartheid is the same thing being told to my black neighbors and Americans throughout that are fighting against police brutality here. There is no form of acceptable resistance to state violence. As long as the message from Washington is that our military support for Israel is unconditional, Netanyahu's extremism, right-wing government will continue to expand settlements, continue to demolish homes, and continue to make the prospects for peace impossible."
Wait, so let me get this straight. So she says that the Palestinians are living under the same conditions of black people in the United States. Okay, so according to her, the Palestinians have it so good that Palestinians can become professional athletes, president of their own country, attorney general, and run mega corporations and become billionaires like Oprah Winfrey. AOC, cut 42. "The United States must acknowledge its role in the injustice and human rights violations of Palestinians." We'll get the clip. Connor, find the clip somewhere. She screwed up the whole Israel thing years ago, and she wants to make us forget. She couldn't find Palestine on a map because it doesn't exist. Cut 42.
"And the United States must acknowledge its role in the injustice and human rights violations of Palestinians. This is not about both sides. This is about an imbalance of power."
This is not about both sides. It's always about power, isn't it? It doesn't matter if Israel's a moral country. It doesn't matter if Israel's trying to defend the Jewish people. No, it's about not being in power. And that's what the left has always cared about. Power as an end, not as a means. Let's go to cut 44. Ilhan Omar, the ingrate, an ingrateful foreigner who has decided to become a congressperson. Cut 44.
"The Israeli government and their far-right ethno-nationalist leader, Benjamin Netanyahu, has legally razed Palestinian ancestral homes, leveled entire neighborhoods, and violently suppressed any resistance. This is all to make way for illegal Israeli settlement outposts designed to displace Palestinians from their homes and prevent a future Palestinian state.
The question is Ilhan Omar defending the West, or is she articulating some sort of strange, bizarre Mogadishu-style government? It's an honest question. I mean, Ilhan Omar is someone that I do not think loves America. I've never heard her say a good thing about America. I think she hates the country. I think that she has a lot of loyalty to this kind of Arab, Islamic, Somali worldview. I really do. Next cut here. I'm sure they're going to love that. Let's go to cut 45. Representative Cori Bush. She stands in solidarity.
Prioritize funding life, not destruction. So today, we remember Bassem. We remember his resistance in the face of militarized police occupation as a St. Louisan and a Palestinian. We lost him to a health crisis, but we remember his words today. Until all our children are safe, we will continue to fight for our rights in Palestine and in Ferguson. We stand with you in solidarity.
Palestine to Ferguson. Now, for those of you that are young, you might not remember what Ferguson was. That was where the big lie of BLM started. The hands up, don't shoot, something that was never said, never happened. Took the country by storm by cable pundits and the smear merchants that run the activist press. And that started BLM Incorporated as we know it. Now remember, this is AOC, who, she attacks Israel, apartheid state, all this. And I would love, I mean, this actually would be a very fun thing. I'd love the squad to be in a room, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, AOC. Now, Ilhan Omar probably could do this because she knows the region rather well. Would be to fill in where these countries actually are. Like, go ahead, AOC. Go tell me where Lebanon is. Is Syria to the north or to the south? This was cut 48. Remember this? AOC attacks Israel, and then she just makes a spectacle of her ignorance. It's just, she should charge tickets. This is how interesting it is. Cut 48.
I also think that what people are starting to see, at least in the occupation of Palestine, is just an increasing crisis of humanitarian condition.
You use the term the occupation of Palestine.
I think what I meant is like the settlements, places where Palestinians are experiencing difficulty.
Do you think you can expand on that?
I am not the expert on geopolitics on this issue.
Yeah, you admit you're not the expert on geopolitics, then you shouldn't comment on it. All of this comes down to a supposed eviction that has happened in East Jerusalem. This happens every so often, but it's more than that. The Arabs and the Palestinian thug terrorists act exactly the same as the leftists. The only difference is that Israel actually draws the line and they say, you're not going to destroy our country. Conservatives, we're happy to do that in America. We can actually learn something from Israel. Where is the American conservative Iron Dome? Where's our Iron Dome every time the left decides to try to launch rockets at our core cultural institutions? Where is our Iron Dome when they teach our kids critical race theory? I respect Israel for this. I really do. They have a nation. They love that nation. And they are willing to do whatever it takes to defend something they love. It's about time for conservatives to learn and not just defend Israel. That's fine. We do that a lot. But maybe say, huh, maybe Israel is going to outlast America because they're actually willing to defend what they love against terrorist thugs that want to destroy them. And their immigration policy, by the way, lines up with that. They say if we have too many Arabs coming into our country, they're going to have children and we're going to lose our identity as a Jewish state. They're unapologetic about it. And then we have to be lectured by these organizations like ADL that comes out and they say, oh, you're a racist for saying that. That's what Israel does. I will defend Israel based on facts and based on reason and what's in the best interest of Western society. But I also think there's a lesson here. Israel will continue to exist because they take this so seriously and they do not allow them to have an inch. American conservatives can learn something from that. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.